Thanks, Ken. Okay, so last week, one of the things we tried to get to a bit was the definition of revival or spiritual revival. And what do we, where do we land, or where do we think we are after your reflection this week on spiritual revival means what? To be revived. It's kind of important because it's like the whole quarter part right here. So, I'm comfortable with silence. It's one of my, yes. To review, you said it? Okay. 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 So the goal is to make sure that we're growing, right? As Christians, we should always be growing. And So one clue might be that if you stop growing, or you feel, you know, when you examine yourself, that if you feel that you're not moving forward any longer, or you're kind of stuck, sometimes you'll hear people use the expression that you're in a rut, that you just can't get out of, that at that point, you know, maybe you're in a place where you need to be revived. Revived is kind of the re-giving of life. Right, it's finding life again. And you don't, we talked a little bit last week, you don't have to be all the way fully in the dumps to, right, it could be anywhere along that path where if you've just lost some life, if you've lost some of your spiritual life, you may have lost just a little bit of it, a little bit of your zeal, you may have lost a lot, you may really be in a bad situation, but regardless of where you are on the continuum, a revival is getting that back. Okay? It's reclaiming what's yours. And it's reclaiming what's yours usually from Satan, right, in some way. And it's taking your gift of God that he's given you back. We talked about things that get people down, and you know that a lot happens in our lives. Talk about all different types of things. We can have physical illness. I mean, Ken just prayed for some of them, right? There's people who sometimes the loss of a loved one will get us in a bad place. And we'll question and say, why did that have to happen? Sometimes an illness of ourselves or someone that we love will cause us to get into a bad place. Or a chronic illness. Right? Chronic type things in our lives. Chronic sin, chronic illness. Chronic financial problems, all different types of chronic things that aren't in this world, that aren't easily shaken, can shake our faith. We talked about some of those things. We talked a bit about last week about who we are and some different ways to look at ourselves. And what did we explore there? Say it again. Okay, that we're a spirit with a body. We ask the question, do you see yourself as a body with a spirit? Or do you see yourself and feel and think of yourself as a spirit with a body? And that's a very different mindset. Thinking about who you are from a primary perspective. And as I try to reflect on a daily basis, think about this week. What did you feed more? Did you feed the body? How much did you feed the spirit? I mean, if you really believe that you're a spirit with a body, I mean, if you fundamentally believe that, did you feed your spirit? What did you do to feed yourself this week? To feed yourself, not your spirit that's something outside of you. You are the spirit, right? It's how we think. It's getting into your own. Do you see yourself as a body? Because everything reminds us of this flesh. When it's hot, just say, I'm hot, you know, I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm sore. I'm thirsty, I'm this, I have this desire, I have that desire, or I get angry, or I whatever it is, it all, so much of it comes back to this encasing that we have. And it's easy to get our minds that this is who we are. And is this who you are? And we talk a lot and we read about the conflict. We can read in Romans, and I think we might get to that today, where we read, the conflict that Paul had between, the spirit and the body. But thinking about, we are a spirit, we are eternal. Like it or not, regardless of your actions on this earth, you are an eternal being. You will live forever. Your body won't live forever, but you will live forever. The God part of you, the part in Genesis 1:26 where you're created in His image, lives forever with somewhere, hopefully with Him is our goal. So we talked about that, talked about how we can quench our spirit. There's things that we can do to quench it. And then what I want to spend a few moments on, we briefly touched on the nature of God and who is God, what is God. And we know in John 4:23 and 24, we're told that God is a what? He is a spirit. I mean, God is a spirit. God isn't flesh and bone. He's not, that's not His character. That's not who He is. That's not His form. He is a spirit, and He seeks and wants desperately His creation, us, to worship Him. How? In spirit and truth. From our spirit, from who we are. Not from a fleshly perspective. Not thinking about what pleases the flesh, right? There's a lot of worship today and in the past, through since the beginning of time, where man finds a way to worship in ways that please flesh. Whether it's our ears, whether it's our senses, whether it's our smell, certain incense, I mean, whatever it might be, what's pleasing to this. But God wants us to worship Him in the way that we're connected with Him, the way that He's made us in His image, which is spirit to spirit. He doesn't, the flesh piece doesn't do much for Him. It comes and goes. That's why He's fine if you have a backache, actually. He's fine if you have a headache. He's fine if He didn't, and we'll get to that in just a moment. He created our bodies the way they are, because that's not the primary, that's not His primary focus. When the man who was a paraplegic was lowered down through the house and Jesus saw him, what did Jesus say to him? Your sins are forgiven. Jesus didn't see, of course He saw it, but what was important was not that his legs didn't work. So your legs don't work. I mean, it's not who you are. That's whether your legs are great or whether you look this way or function that way or whatever isn't what makes you important. That's not where your value sits, right? We try to teach our kids that and teach ourselves that you don't have to be a certain height or a certain weight or have a certain look or do this or do that. Those things are important in this world to some people, but that's not what God sees. When God saw the man, He says, your sins are forgiven you. So that's not why I'm here, right? He's at best a body with a spirit in His mind. Okay, so God wants us to worship Him. He wants us to worship Him in spirit and truth because He is a spirit, and there's that connection. This is the piece I just want to dive in for a few moments this morning, is what is the nature of the created? So God is a spirit. We talked about angels. Angels are created. And let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2, 5 through 9. Can someone read that, please? Hebrews 2, 5 through 9. Thank you. So we know that man was created lower than the angels. We know that Christ came and was made, we're told in John, that he was made flesh, right? So Jesus took on this flesh as well. I think part of what makes us lower, what makes us lower than the angels? What's that? I mean, I think, yeah, my belief is that we are in this flesh. I mean, that we're made in this state. And we're complex in a way, in that we have spirit and a physical body. But it's just what we house. It's our host. I made reference to a hermit crab last week. Right? You think of a hermit crab. Oftentimes, we think of a hermit crab, and we look at hermit crabs and think they're cool by their shells. But they leave their shells. They when they get bigger and they outgrow it, they move to another shell. And at some point, we're going to outgrow this shell. This isn't actually who we are. It's just what you see on the outside. And we're told in a moment, right, in the twinkling of an eye, when Christ comes, we will change. And we will move. We will move to a new place. So they're ministering spirits. So they have spirit, we have spirit. That's how we're all tied, right? God's creation, we're tied from a spirit perspective. And that's important. Okay, that's important. We have this physical body. Turn to Romans 7, 14. And someone read, I know we've read it before, but I want us to read it and listen to it in this context, and we'll move on. But someone please read Romans 7, 14 through 25. Romans 7, 14 through 25.
You know that the law is spirit, but I am sorry to understand. That which I do, I allow not. What I would, that do I. But what I hate, that do I. And I do that which I would not. I consent to the law that is good. Now then,
okay, thank you. So we see Paul here talking about the struggle, right, between the flesh and the spirit. And you go back and forth and you look at verse 24. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Now, do you believe that God is all-powerful? If you believe that God is all-powerful, you know, the next question is, do you believe that God created you? So if you believe that God is all-powerful and you believe that God created you, then I'm led to the conclusion that he created me exactly the way he wanted me to be created. He created me exactly the way he wanted me to be created. Because he has the power to create me however he wants. He could have made me an angel. He could have made me a body with one arm. He could have made me, I could, you know, we could all look like turtles. Seriously, we could look like turtles. He could have gave us the turtle form, but still be whatever. He put his spirit in a turtle. I mean, he could have done whatever he wanted. And why is that important to think about that? It's important because the struggles that we have and the struggles that we have with this body and going back and forth is by design. This isn't by accident. Have you ever thought of that? God knows that we are going to struggle. He knows that one of his apostles, the Apostle Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am, when will I be delivered from this body of death?" God set this up. Why would he set this up like this? If he had a choice and he's all powerful and he created us, why would he create us this way? I believe you are exactly right. I believe that's exactly right. Bill? I can go home now. That's perfect. And that's exactly right. It's exactly right. I want to take us to what Ken said. God seeks us to worship him in spirit and truth. God wants us to praise him, to love him, to adore him, to put him first. He is a jealous God. We are made for his pleasure. We weren't made for our own pleasure. We were made for his pleasure. And if you think about the angels, you said, the angels, and I don't know everything about angels. I don't know all the answers to all the angel questions. But I know angels have a different access and a different opportunity to see and to know things about God and around God that I don't have. I also know, that they don't have this body. And when someone doesn't, when a created being doesn't have that confirming, immediate, all the time, right there, visual, in the presence, in the way that we think that angels do, and they don't have the body, and they worship, and they depend on the Creator anyway, think about what pleasure that brings our Creator. We are the lowest in the created that still has the opportunity to be redeemed. We are the furthest away, in one sense, from a physical perspective, but we have just enough in God through His Son has given us enough that we can know and we can believe and we can be taken care of and we can live a life of peace. Look with me in Luke 7, verse 36. I'm just going to read this for time. Luke 7, 36. And I want you to think about your struggles. And those things we talked about, and I asked, what is it that you struggle with? That the relationship that we have, you know, if you're right there with God every day, physically, on the throne, right beside Him, in His glory, in His, with no temptation, with no struggle, with no sickness, with no death, is a very different experience than the life that we are currently temporarily in. And to know that God loves us and forgives us and that we desire when we work with Him, it creates an incredible bond, an incredible dependence, the dependence He longs for by design. By design. Look at Luke 7, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked Him to eat with him, and He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at His feet behind Him, weeping. And she began to wash His feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed His feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who invited Him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching Him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who forgave more, whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? But then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And I want us to think about the contrast here a bit between us as a created, as humans, who are lower than the angels and the rest of creation. We have a lot of opportunity to mess up as human beings. And to those who are forgiven much, love much. And God knows that. And He wants that from us. Do you see the connection? So we're designed not to sin. We're designed for dependence. We're designed for worship. We're not designed for independence. We're sheep. We're sheep. We're told we're sheep. Sheep have problems. can't figure much out on their own. They don't know where to eat. They don't know where to get a drink. You leave them to themselves, and they get attacked, and they die. And so we are who we are. We're a spirit with a body, and we're in this body, and this body really isn't that great, but it's temporary. And that's why God was happy to have Paul. Paul asked God that he remove his thorn in the flesh at least how many times? And God told him what? My grace is sufficient. Grace, that's, again, I didn't come here for grace. I got this physical problem that I need help with. My grace is sufficient. Just follow me. Just love me. Stay close to me. Worship me. And I'll take care of your needs. Okay. With that thought, let's turn to Ezekiel 37. If I can have someone. Read in a nice voice. Could be a male or a female voice, but just out where people can hear. Ezekiel 37, the first 14 verses. Thank you. Quite an event. Who's Ezekiel? He's a prophet. He's a prophet of God. And I'm just going to move. I'm going to move through this. He's a prophet of God. He's been struggling with Israel. Israel hasn't been doing what they need to be doing. Haven't been following God's will. And look at verse 1. It says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones." You know, sometimes God brings us to the place that we need to be to learn the right lesson. Does he not? Sometimes he does. Sometimes the way that's how he teaches us. And he brought Ezekiel here because Ezekiel needed to learn and to be revived a bit himself. We look at this, and there is a revival of the bones back to an army. And that's a revival. But there's also a revival here of Ezekiel, that Ezekiel can know that Israel can be revived, which will revive his hope. But sometimes he brings us to a place where we need to learn a lesson. And we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We just had a class on Galatians. And Galatians 5, 16 through 25 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And most of those lessons have to do with, what do I need to learn? Which of those fruit do I need to be working on? Kindness, love, long-suffering, patience, forgiveness. So when we go through trials or we experience something, one of the first questions we need to ask is, what is it that I'm supposed to be learning from this? That's exactly right. Are there not people in your life that you think are these dry bones and there is no way they can be revived? More importantly, is that how you feel about yourself? You know, sometimes when there's a chronic issue, whatever it might be, and it can be little things even. It doesn't have to be big things, but it could be little things. And you think, I've been dealing with this and struggling with this since I was a teenager. What is wrong with me? Why can't I keep my mouth shut? Why am I always so angry? Why do I always give in to that sin, whatever it is? Why am I so tempted to do this? And we start to tell ourselves over time, we internalize it so much that we tell ourselves we are a failure. And I'm not good enough, and I'm not worthy, and I'm not capable, and God can't revive me. Which then can create resentment. Then we see people, they start to resent God. And I see other people who are thriving. Look at them, and their life's so perfect. Right? So it's understanding that there isn't anyone who God does not have the capability to revive. Look in verse 2. God made him pass by all these bones, right? He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were what? Very dry. Right? Ezekiel's like, wow, these are some dry bones. These aren't just like kind of moist regular bones. I mean, these bones, they were very dry. He gets the gravity of this. He understood. And in verse 3, look in verse 3. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And what did Ezekiel answer? It's kind of a clever way of saying, he didn't say, I don't know. Then he didn't say, oh yes, they can live. Oh Lord, you know. I don't get that Ezekiel was convinced that these bones could live. Lord, you know. We talked about Philippians 4:13 last week. It tells us what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you really believe? Forget that person that you're thinking about. Think about yourself, as Bill said. Examine yourself. Wherever you are in your spiritual, are you at your apex? I don't mean your apex in the sense that you don't believe you can't go higher. But are you at the top of your spiritual Christianity? Are you the best that you've been in your life as a Christian right now today? If you can't answer yes, then you've slipped. I'm not asking, are you the best that you think you can ever be? Because we can always get better. But are you at your best? And if your answer is no, then you need a revival. And do you believe that God can revive you? You think, well, he can revive me on all this other stuff, but man, this one thing, or these two things, or this whatever it is, he hasn't been able to do it so far, and you know how much I prayed to him about it? I don't think he can do it. And through this class, hopefully we'll find out through the quarter how we can get out of our own way. How we can get out of our own way and let God revive us. So, look at verse 4. So again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now why would God ask Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones? Can bones hear? What's that, apparently? What's that? Testing his faith, maybe. What was Ezekiel, we said? He was a prophet. What do prophets do? They prophesy. You're a Christian, for those of you who are Christians. What do Christians do? God asks us to do our role. He asks us to do our part. He'll fill in the gaps. Right? If you're a prophet, you prophesy. Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. Do you believe they can live? Oh, you know, Lord. Prophesy to these bones. You do your part. You do your role. There's no question that he's reviving necessarily. He is reviving Ezekiel through this process. That's right. And he's giving him hope that the people that he will continue to prophesy to, if he can prophesy to these bones and God can bring them back, then he can prophesy to the living, can he not? That's right. That's right. They are the dry bones. And we can be the dry bones, or we can have people in our lives. And so to Calvin's point, who are those people in your life who maybe we've given up on? But it starts with you, because you're not going to be good for anyone else if you haven't taken care of yourself, right? It is like they tell you on the airplane. Who do you put your oxygen mask on first, right? You put it on yourself first, not your kids. That's counterintuitive. Plane's going down, mask dropped down, you got your kid beside you. Notice I didn't say your spouse. So you got your kid beside you, right? You look to put it on your child. I got to take care of my child. It's like, no, you take care of yourself first and be your best you so that you can take care of your child. That's right. You know, do we trust God? And I think that's what sits at the heart of all of this. That was the second bell. Did the first bell ring? Okay, I want to leave you with this. Jeremiah 29 in verse 11. And know that God, trust in God, wherever you are, know that God can revive you. And know that no matter what that voice in your head tells you, that you're not worthy, you are worthy of revival. And God sent his son for you. And God says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace," like he told the woman, "and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." With all your heart. Make sure you feed the Spirit this week. Thank you.